This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends off. Yeah! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again, back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots return home to take on Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Peyton Manning against Tom Brady this week. This is a matchup that, I don't know, as recently as a couple of years ago, there was a lot of hype, a lot of buzz around it. Now with Manning in Denver, you guys have been talking to Patriots fans throughout the week. How would you describe the anticipation level of this game?
It's down. It's not the same as the old school Brady Manning. I think one of the things, part of it is the 2-2 records, and they're not two undefeated teams in November battling for playoff supremacy. But I think part of it is some of the hate or distaste for Peyton Manning was kind of washed away by the year away and the injury and, you know, him signing autographs here last year before the game and Brady saying it sucked to not have him. I think some of that, you know, our boss used to call him a very not very nice name that I won't say because out of respect for our sponsor, Dunkin' Donuts. But I think some of that hate from New England or whatever it was is gone. And now they're like, whew, it's just good to have him back. And I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing for Patriots fans, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point that Andy brings up about the fans' reaction to Manning himself, because he was a pretty universally hated guy around here. And I'm sure, listen, when the game starts today, it's going to be that hate all over again. But that's football on-field hate. You want him to throw four picks. You want to see the face that everybody makes fun of. You want to see bad things happen because, you know, Manning is, he always had all these things handed to him and all that stuff. That's fine. But I think there's less of the vitriol off the field toward him. I think Andy's right. You know, it was a serious injury, first of all. Not just, he didn't twist an ankle and miss a year. You know, he had four surgeries on his neck, and I think people looked at that with a bit of compassion. And then the way he acted last year when he came here, he spent at least an hour, I think more than an hour, on the field signing autographs for virtually anybody who wanted one last year. Here inside,
Paul actually got one.
Inside Gillette Stadium.
Is that true?
I did not get it.
On his left breast.
With a little lipstick kiss right underneath.
Yeah. It's 204. I mean, it's 204.
Fun to spice it up a little.
The funny thing is, I believed it. I was like, oh, really? That's good. Good for you, Paul.
Yeah,
I was like, that'll be worth something someday.
And your boy Mendenhall is ridiculous with a touchdown run.
Paul giving play-by-play of games now.
Well, I was only...
He lost his hosting.
It was only, but he can do play-by-play. Only because it was Mendenhall, and I figured
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
You'd be having to take off the next half hour. But I think that some of that, you know, that the personal hate for Manning has maybe subsided a little bit. It'll be back when the game, you know, you ask about, you know, is it a typical Brady Manning? I think it's sort of building as the week has gone on, but definitely the week did not open up the way a Patriots Colts week would have, especially in any, you know, Andy just finished the pregame show on 98.5, you know, the flagship station. I think you made a good point. It was something that we talked about in the preview last week for the game. Generally, when Brady and Manning have gone against each other, it's been around the middle of November. One or both of the teams was undefeated, and it was the game of the year.
Right.
It was the two best teams in the AFC, a lot of times the two best teams in the NFL, and they were bringing like 20 wins combined into the game. Well, now they're both 2-2, and
not even thought of as better than that.
The guy's coming back from a serious injury. It's, you know, the wins aren't really the most important thing for Peyton Manning right now. It's can he still play? Is he okay? But I think it's sort of building. I think people are looking at it. This is another one of those installments of what I think is the greatest rivalry the NFL has seen.
And I think there's a little air of, we only got one or two more of these, maybe, and let's enjoy this while it's here. Instead of saying, you know, the jerk from Denver Manning, let's sit back and watch. You know, I saw ESPN tweet said this morning, and I retweeted it, that there's six guys with 300 career touchdowns. Three of them are here today, Brady, Manning, and John Elway. Like, you're seeing greatness. You're seeing Hall of Famers battle, and you might not see, you know, what does he have, two more years maybe in Denver? Who knows? So I think there's an appreciation for that. But the biggest thing, like, I think people are downplaying him. I think so many people may have watched the first quarter of that Atlanta game and been like, well, he just doesn't have the arm anymore. Well, you see those picks? I'm like, well, yeah, I saw those picks. They were the only ones he's thrown this year, and he's good.
Well, and this is what I want to get to. So I know you guys may not break down the tape like Gresh, but if you go back and you look at these four games under Peyton Manning's belt, what have you seen from him returning to
the
football
field? I think he's good. I think it's borderline remarkable. I'd like to see how many people miss an entire year, switch cities. That team has to change offenses, learn new personnel, and come out of the gates with the kind of I mean, I think he's 10th in the league in passer rating, 8-9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He had one bad quarter in Atlanta, almost led him back to that. He has scored 30 points in their wins. And oh, by the way, when he loses, he's in the mid-20s, including against Houston, maybe the best defense in football. I'm not sure what not to like about what Peyton Manning has done in his first four games in Denver. And I actually think, as I said, it's remarkable. Yeah. I'm not sure there's too many stories of similar. You know, usually when you miss a year, people are like, oh, well, you know, it's going to take a little while for him to get back to you. And even Brady, when he came back, I didn't think looked great, even though I think he was AFC Offensive Player of the Week and maybe AFC Offensive Player of the Month for the first month back in 2009.
It's one of those things. The numbers are going to tell a different story, but I saw it.
And he came back to same coach, same receivers, same, you know, center, same everything. Whereas Manning is learning, you know, I know he's got Tammy and I know he's got Stokely and some guys that he's comfortable with, but it's all new. And I think it's remarkable. And God forbid he's playing outdoors. You know, everybody who thought he was just a good indoor quarterback, that's Mike Felger.
Ironically, when he played indoors,
he lost when he had
his troubles.
Well, don't laugh. I learned it from watching you, Adam. I figure if we're taking shots at Gresh, then Felger's up in line. We'll just, holds barred. Greg Bedard, watch out. We'll get to you later.
I was gonna say, everyone's fair game on this program.
What? And before long, we'll get to our favorite punchy bag, the crap sheet.
What have you seen, Paul, from Manning thus
far? Well, you know what I find? All the stuff that Andy said, I would certainly agree with. But what I find most interesting is all that change that Andy just described. Think about what Tom Brady is doing with the offense right now. There's a lot of times where I think the Patriots are going to the line of scrimmage with two calls, and Brady is surveying the situation and deciding what to do. Peyton Manning took a year off, has changed teams, and largely that's what they're doing. He's doing exactly what Tom is doing in terms of dictating run or pass. I just think it's amazing, and I know that, you know, there's nothing wrong with his mind, so obviously you could learn, but to have so much change and the differences in personnel and be confident and comfortable that these guys are going to be able to be with you. I mean, he's turning around handing it to Willis McGahee, not, you know, Edgerrin James or Donald Brown or, you know, Joseph Addai and the guys that he worked with all those years in Indianapolis. This is a whole, you know, he has to make sure that everybody's on the same page, and they've been fairly productive. I mean, against Houston, I think Houston has a terrific defense. I mean, they moved the ball against Houston. I think they scored like 25 or 26 points in that game. Not a lot of teams do that against that defense. And listen, I have a lot of respect for Manning. I already had a lot of respect for him. I kind of
shows
came,
on his chest.
I kind of came the way the Patriots fans are.
That family heirloom he can hand down.
And yeah. I say this all the time during the week.
A little hair in the way.
Wow. I started off with an immense amount of hatred for Peyton Manning. When he came out of Tennessee, I rooted against him at Tennessee. I always laughed when they lost the big one to Florida all the time. And I just thought he was another one of these, you know, son of an NFL coach who had everything handed to him, blah, blah, blah. And he just, you know, he was so good and sort of handles himself just like Tom does. Almost always says exactly the right thing. I couldn't help it. After a while, it was like, wow. This guy is special, and like Andy says, you got to sort of remember how great the rivalry is and enjoy it before, you know, we only have probably a couple more left.
Well, and the fact that it got taken away for a year, you know, yeah, that probably right.
You had to watch that crap bum
turn a lot of Patriots fans in that direction as well. It's the Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. We're presented by Dunkin' Donuts. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' got a little extra bang for their buck today. I was talking about them over on the 98.5 show as well.
I heard that.
So maybe next week we can get some of those hot sandwiches you're talking about.
That would be delicious. Oh. That would be delectable.
Put your tin cup away.
I'm already on Dunkin' Donuts cup number 3 over here.
Oh, jeez.
Before we get to the phone calls here.
It's not too hot for you now?
No, it's good. 508-298-0398, Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Before we get there, let's head over to the Poll Center with Matt LePan.
How are we doing today, Adam?
We're doing excellent.
All right, we're starting off with...
Enough with the pleasantries. Just get to it.
Okay,
easy. Felger, you.
Besides Peyton Manning, who's the most dangerous Broncos player today? Champ Bailey, Eric Decker, Elvis Dumervil, Demaryius Thomas, Von Miller, or Willis McGahee? As of right now, Demaryius Thomas is at 60% leading the way.
I think that's an interesting one against his secondary. Certainly McCourty doesn't really want to see a matchup like that, a big outside receiver. You know, he's finally built a little confidence here. But the other part of me, and I don't know why, and I said this to Paul, I had a vision. I had a bad vision. I'm just going to be honest with people.
Oh, God.
I saw Brady laying on the turf in the second quarter of a rainy game. And I don't know if it's last year's hit in the regular season from Von Miller. It was Von Miller, right? Or was it Dumervil?
I think it was Dumervil.
The one time they hit him, and he had his forearm across his chest, and he either should have broken his forearm or the rest of his body as well.
And despite the fact that you and I were here in Foxborough, we actually heard Brady wince in pain.
Yes. that scares me a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you, because I think these guys are pretty good. And as much as I've been happy to tell the story of Solder and Vollmer have been good, and they won last week against Anderson, I still got a little fear there.
I mean, I think Andy, you know, touches on a bunch of different things that are, you know, Thomas is a big play guy. He's not consistent. I don't think Thomas is going to put up like 12 catches on you, but he might put up 100 yards on 4 catches, and that's to be feared. I'll go really outside the box.
Why would I fear that? I've seen it like 17 times in the last 2 years.
Willis McGahee is not an overly dynamic running back at this stage of his career. He's averaging around 5 yards a carry, and here's what I worry about with him, Adam. If Manning gets in a rhythm and he's playing well, and you know he sort of starts, you know, using his receivers and switching back and forth, I don't think the Patriots are going to have much in terms of their game plan geared toward McGahee today. And I wonder if all of a sudden you look up and he's averaging 5 yards a carry, and he's approaching 100 yards, and now the Broncos were able to balance out their attack all day and stay in short yardage situations and whatnot. I worry about that. I don't think McGahee is like Ray Rice. But I think he could turn in a Ray Rice-like game like Baltimore did. Whereas Rice never took the game over, but the Patriots never took Rice out of it. And if they're not focusing on him, I wonder if maybe he has a bigger impact today than we think.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com, taking you up to New England and Denver, 4:25 kickoff time. Before we get to the phone calls, 508-298-0398, your emails at webradio@patriots.com. Let's get to Andy and Paul's keys to this week's game against the Broncos.
You've waited all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
I like it. All right, guys, let's hear him. Belichick's excited. What's your keys here today against Denver?
You know, I know that was taken from just a press conference or something, but I'm pretty sure. What was that talking in the background? I'm pretty sure if you actually asked him somehow and could get him to respond, that's exactly what he would say.
Oh, yeah,
I don't think that's misleading.
I can't wait.
I can't wait. I am going to go with, I agree with Paul on the McGahee thing, but I have a lot of confidence in the Patriots' run defense, Will Fork, Mayo. You know, Spikes in the role that he's playing now. I think they have a severe mismatch in the middle of the field on Copen, because I know Patriots fans maybe didn't want to hear it, but he wasn't that good in training camp. He didn't look that good this summer.
Copen, you're talking about?
I think that's why I said Copen. Yeah, I was talking about Copen. and I think that's a mismatch. So
when you say Copen, you mean Copen?
I mean Copen. Dan Copen. Dan
okay.
Copen.
Interesting.
So I am going to go with the pass defense and the middle of the field. I have concerns there. With Tavon Wilson making his first career start, and I know everybody was kind of clamoring for him. Oh, he's got all these turnovers, and Gregory took a bad angle last week. Let's get more Wilson. Well, you're getting what you wish for this week now. Let's just make sure you want it. And I think the Patriots defense traditionally in recent years has been bad in the middle of the field. And Peyton Manning is good in the middle of the field, except for the first quarter in Atlanta. And, you know, he's got Decker and Tammy and Stokely, those guys in the middle. That worries me a little bit. And if they can march up and down the field with him eating that up, that's how they stay in this game.
Yeah, for me, you have to make sure you get Manning out of his rhythm. And I know a lot of people say you have to pressure Manning in this game. If you don't pressure Manning, you're dead, because if you allow him to sit back, well, yeah, I think that largely that's true. But it's not just about getting pressure. It's about, to me, changing looks to get pressure and confusing, trying to, you know, maybe confuse him a little bit. And not just confusing him with pressure. Confuse him by dropping eight sometimes. And hopefully he expected maybe you to come a little bit. I think if you...
Now, you're going to say I'm immature in that one? Really?
What? What'd he say?
All I can say is if you don't laugh, I don't stop. Anyway,
if you don't say it, I don't laugh.
He just wanted him to come a little bit. That's all.
You never know. Say that on ESPN, I bet.
Disguising the pre-snap looks and all that stuff, I think, is the key to the game. You can't allow Manning to know exactly what's going on, just like the Broncos can't do that for Tom Brady. Tom Brady will kill him if they do that. Same is true for Manning. You have to disguise what you do, and they talked a lot about that. All the players talked about that this week, kind of ad nauseum after a while. It just became, you know, almost a cliche. They have to figure out a way to keep Manning on his toes.
All right, so Andy hit on this. The absence of Steve Gregory, what's the impact there, particularly going against someone like Peyton Manning?
I'll let you know at about 7:30.
But, yeah, I think
Tavon
right.
Wilson has looked good, but there's a difference between looking good, rotating through, picking your spots, you know, having good fortune that the ball is thrown to you, and being out there for 65 snaps against Peyton Manning. I mean, that's a major difference to me. And if he can't do it, now you're really in trouble. You don't really have another safety. You kind of came into the year with three safeties. Okay, maybe you bring Sterling Moore in or somebody else. But I think you lose that veteran experience comfort. Okay, so he made some mistakes. Okay, we'll move past that. But now you could get mistakes and a guy who's not totally sure what he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm concerned. And I've been very, very happily surprised with Wilson through a month. But now this is sort of the big test.
Yeah, the experience level for Wilson, you can't replace that. That's a huge deal. Andy's absolutely right. I think that last week, I thought at the time that Gregory was benched in favor of Wilson late in that game, you know, following the huge touchdown by Donald Jones. Obviously, that wasn't the case because Steve is still out now with a hip injury. He's out. So to me, that's a big thing to keep an eye on today. He's never faced a guy like Peyton Manning. Does he allow himself to get out of position? Does he get sort of confused by some of the things that Manning does pre-snap? Does he, you know, show his hand? It's exactly what we're talking about. You have to kind of be disciplined in what you want to do. So Tavon Wilson will have a big task at today because he's just never been there. He's never been out there against a guy like this, and he's never, you know, he's playing on his fifth NFL game. It's a big test for him.
Gregory and Edelman have already been ruled out. We should get the rest of the inactives right around 3 o'clock Eastern time. And we'll take a look at Aaron Hernandez coming up here in just a little bit as well. But first, let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. 508-298-0398. That's where our buddy Jeff in Vegas dials us up. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Where are you?
The bottom of a well?
I'm at the Trump Sportsbook. I just stepped outside.
Oh, nice.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yeah. Wheeling and dealing, money just flying around.
Yeah, it is actually, Andy. And speaking of flying around, the point spread, open New England -7, is down to -5.5. Total disrespect.
I'll buy it. I'm sure most of our listeners will, too.
And the total has dropped as well, 51.5 to 50.5. Tell me about this weather. They're saying like 60% chance of precipitation.
Yes, and it's chilly. It's going to be a cold, rainy night, potentially. The tarp was actually still on the field when we walked by a few minutes ago. So, I think weather, and you never know when a wind is going to come up here when it is raining. So I think weather is something to watch.
There's a wind in the studio just a few moments ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a draft under that door.
A little breezy.
Yeah, we all know it's wind over precipitation that can affect things, but I think it's just those 6 miles an hour by young, right. As you say, there can be those gusts out of nowhere, especially on an open end of the stadium.
Yes, right? yes. And this area in general, I think we're in a little wind zone here. So, but yeah, where are you going?
Yeah, that brings us to a great question to the Jeff in Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Yeah. Heavens to Betsy!
Guys, New England wins easily by a comfortable margin. This is Peyton Manning, a year as well as he's played, a year removed from missing an entire season. He doesn't have his pet offensive coordinator, his pet plays, his comfort level. So I think we're going to handle Peyton handily today. How about you guys?
I think it's going to be a comfortable victory. The one I was interested in is where you're going with your over-under money.
Yeah, I'm going to get stubborn with that, Andy. I grabbed the 51.5. I'm going to go under, even though and on that turf, even if it's pouring rain, I think it's not going to affect it. Even though it looked like it was torn up early in the week, right? What was that about?
What?
Someone tweeted out a picture that they were sort of doing something with the turf. In any case, against my better judgment, I'm going under again. I think this time it doesn't go over 51.5.
Yeah, I think you're wrong on that one. I would take the Patriots and the opener over if I had to.
And what are we going for the I'm taking the over as well. What are we going for the line?
It's 5.5, I think you said.
He's going with the 5.5. Because that
we're going to give the 5.5.
Because it was 6.5 here.
He said it was 7 recently.
It swung down. There's a ton of Denver money coming in for whatever reason. 5.5 right now at Cantor Gaming, at least.
All right. Interesting. The Jeff?
Take
smart
the pass,
money.
Get the points. Lock
all right, we'll see you for lunch on Thursday.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.
All right, Jeff.
All right, thanks, Jeff, giving us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508.
Why do I always get the impression he's going to sell me like a Mark McGwire rookie card at the end of one of those calls?
So you guys are both taking
and
the over.
And a samurai sword.
You guys are both taking the over. I am as well. What do you think about that line? 5.5?
Way too low.
5.5 is, I think it's going to be closer. I'm the only one that thinks it's going to be a close game.
I'm with you. I think Denver covers that spread.
Of course you do.
But
home games, you're always with the opponent.
I don't know. They tend not to blow out Peyton Manning. I understand the personnel is different.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a blowout necessarily, but you can win by 10 points.
I understand. We can do the countdown like I did for that Cardinals game.
10 or 9.
10 or 9. Maybe even 8. 11 counts.
One count.
I would take Denver to cover that. Are you going that far, Paul, or no?
Well, I have 34-28, so that's why that 5.5.
Yeah.
If it gets down in there, I think that the Patriots might be able to squeeze out a cover. But I am anticipating a last possession game. That's the way these games just seem to go. Yeah. And they don't always go back and forth. You know, sometimes we've seen many times, actually, that the Colts have fallen well behind and stormed comeback. Sometimes they win. Sometimes they don't.
Sometimes James Sanders steps in front for a huge play.
But wasn't it like 31?
Championship player right there.
I want to say it was 31-14 in that game.
In the hallway.
Fell off the map after that. Oh. But, you know, now he's a special teamer.
So there have been some, you know, some big comebacks for Indianapolis in this game. I think this is a last possession game. I think it's a who has the ball last and can the other team stop them.
So we're all on the over. You guys think
the
Patriots
like the
cover
over,
the
definitely.
Spread? I don't. So that's where we're at on that. Let's check
quick hit from Twitter.
Go for it.
Paul likes these, courtesy of Jeff Howe. Dan Copen and Danny Woodhead just exchanged pleasantries on the field.
I saw that one. What do you think I said?
Pleasantries.
You missed
hey,
Paul.
How are you?
You missed Paul doing the salsa dance, by the way. Did you catch any of that?
I didn't.
It was pretty nimble. Pretty nimble,
pretty nimble
salsa dance that he's doing, mimicking
Victor Cruz
on that touchdown. Yeah, it was pretty good. Before we get back to the phones, 508.
Basically because he was uncovered on the play.
298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. I mentioned the inactives, which we should get here in a little over a half an hour. What do you expect? Will Aaron Hernandez suit up today?
No. I don't think Hernandez plays. Just returned to the practice field this week. Obviously, he was questionable, but in my mind, he's more towards doubtful and won't be out there. I think next week could be a legitimate questionable practice all week. You know, get ready with the game plan, maybe be a game-time decision, but I don't think he's going to play.
I agree with Andy. I think next week there's a chance, but to me, this is too soon. I think that was a pretty significant injury. Andy and I have been talking about how Hernandez clearly is a fast healer. So he's one of those guys, you know.
Yagi-san.
You know, there's been guys that, you know, Robert Parrish, former Celtics center, used to be like that. He used to have these bad ankle sprains, and then all of a sudden, you know, you looked like he'd be out for a month, and he'd be back two games later or a game later.
Interesting example.
So I think Hernandez is still dealing with something, and I don't think this week is the week, but there's a chance next week. But I agree with Andy. I think he'll truly be questionable next week as well.
How about Mankins?
How about him? What do you think?
I think Mankins,
Paul?
Plays.
Me too.
This week, yeah.
Hopefully he didn't get another injury on the way to the stadium.
And again, this is, you know, it's really difficult to sort of forecast how the Patriots personnel is going to unfold. You know,
Brady.
When the guys say out, you know, okay, we can definitively call them out, but, you know, it's hard. You know, the Patriots are so tight-lipped with this information.
I'm going to regret this, but I think this Hernandez one is as easy as has been of a questionable in a while. I think there's real.
No,
I'd be absolutely stone-cold stunned.
I agree with you, but let's face it. We've been stone-cold stunned.
I haven't. I'm always right.
You know, in the past.
I want your thoughts on this, too.
Absolute DB.
Yeah, I don't get how you're surprised by that, though. You know, you've been doing the show with him for however many years. You should know this by now. Just checking.
The bulk of your adult life.
I want your thoughts on this. Mike Reese wrote the following on ESPNBoston.com. It's my understanding that Rob Gronkowski has been dealing with significant pain these past 2 weeks. He's listed on the injury report with a hip ailment, and we know the back problems from his college days at Arizona. He's had snaps scaled back last week in the win over Buffalo and was limited throughout the past week in practice. Gronkowski's as tough as they come, but this is something I'll be watching closely. What do you guys think of that?
I certainly think it's worth watching closely. I mean, he missed practice this week. That's not good. I don't care if it's only one day. It seems to be getting worse because he didn't miss any the week before, correct? If I'm correct?
No, I think he did miss it. Did he miss a day of practice the week before?
Last week,
he did.
So he's missed one
Baltimore.
Each of the last 2 weeks. But regardless, he's one of the most irreplaceable players on your team. And if he is battling something, that affects the entirety of your offense, your passing game and your running game. You can't replace him. You can't stay as versatile, even though you have the best third tight end in football in Daniel Fells, in my opinion. And, you know, beyond that.
Where does Omanawanui rank on the fourth tight end list?
I don't know. That's
pretty high.
That's a good question.
Got to be pretty high.
But beyond that, you just gave him $50 million and said through like the next decade, you're a core of my offense. So you want him healthy. And I don't know if there's any reason to tie the hip into the back other than their proximity to each other. But
just to point out that he's been hurt in the past.
Paul is a, I don't even know what, extreme cynic, or he worries about back injuries. And I'll give him credit for that on Sebastian Vollmer. And it became a major issue again after it wasn't an issue for a long time between his Houston career.
If he was going to make fun of
and here. No. You and I see it. I mean, my wife's a physical therapist, and she, when people are going to have back surgery, she's like, you realize a lot of times this means more surgeries and you're never the same. And, you know, I know people personally who've had back surgeries. And to me, it's one of the worst. I would never want to hear a doctor say, you need back surgery. Because to me, it's like one, as bad as ACLs or patella tendons or Achilles, whatever, to me, that's bad news when you have back surgery. Right. And I don't want to be an alarmist here, but Mike Reese is kind of tying them together, and I don't think it's ridiculous to do so.
Yeah, and we've even talked about this sort of injury stuff, connecting the dots with different players too. Logan Mankins, torn ACL, comes back. Now he has a hip problem. You know, is that related to maybe walking somehow in a compromising way? Same thing with Gronkowski. I don't know if it has anything to do with the back. Maybe it's his ankle. Maybe it's his ankle that caused the situation with the, you know, his hip injury, and doesn't have anything to do with the back. Maybe his back is completely sound. I don't know. But these injuries, that they're important players. And when you have guys that are missing practice this early in the season, that to me says these are injuries most of these players are going to deal with all year. It's going to get worse, not better. Now, sometimes I think you got to bite the bullet and just hit somebody. And who knows?
And that might have been Mankins last week.
Yeah. And maybe it's Gronkowski this week. I don't know. I mean, I doubt it because I don't think, as we've said, I don't think Hernandez is going to sit out. So, I mean, it's going to suit up. So
you try to
It might not be the right week for Gronk. But, yeah, and I also think, despite the fact that he had a great productive game last week in terms of 100 yards, I don't think he ran well. I don't think he was his normal self moving around. And Andy brought up a great point. it's funny that he's dealing with these physical problems, and we seem to send him deep every week, which I would think would provide more wear and tear. You know, keep him underneath in the slot, in the seam, and, you know, let him be Gronk. But, you know, who knows? You know, who knows exactly how much pain he's dealing with? But when guys of that caliber are missing practice during the week, it really worries me.
And maybe one of the worst parts is the toughness. I mean, because you don't really know at what point he shouldn't be out there. I mean, you have doctors assessing stuff, but at some point there's also a pain threshold and a player telling you what he's dealing with. And, you know, he plays the Super Bowl, and then he has surgery 4 days later. And, you know, maybe he's saying, nah, I can play through this, but maybe he's doing damage that even the doctors can't really assess. So sometimes I think that toughness can be a long – it's great short-term, but long-term it can have an adverse effect on the player and the team in that situation.
That's a big thing for me. A lot of guys get – a lot of credit for playing injured.
Well, like Mankins. Everyone was talking about Mankins playing through that injury, and now he's dealing with something else.
And sometimes I think it can be very much a double-edged sword. I think that sometimes just the better thing is, like I said, just sit out and get better. You know, and who knows if these guys are in that situation again? It's hard because they're so tight-lipped, and we don't know all the different ins and outs of every one of these physical situations.
Set back to the phones, 508-298-0398. Nick's in Miami, and he's next up here on Patriots.com. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing great.
Well, here's my thing. It's an old rivalry between Manning and Brady, but it's a different scene because, obviously, you know, Peyton's on the Broncos now. What do you guys think each team's going to focus on, considering Manning has to deal with new defensive rookies that have made an amazing impact so far this year, and the Patriots defense has to deal with a new team that Manning's working with, you know?
I don't really get the question. I'm sorry.
Well, the new personnel, right, Nick, is what you're asking?
Yeah, like, what do you think each team's going to focus on? Like, what's the focus point for the Broncos against the Patriots, and what's the focal point for the Patriots against the Broncos?
You mean in the terms of the Broncos offense, Patriots defense matchup?
Yeah.
Well, I as I said earlier, I think Manning should look to target the middle of the field. You know, as much as the whole pass defense has had its issues over the last year plus, and I would be targeting the middle of the field. I'd be testing Tavon Wilson, see where he is. I'd be seeing if the linebackers are getting their drops, or is there a soft spot in that middle of the field that I can just beat the hell out of all game long to Decker and Tammy and Stokely? Because I also think those are the receivers he's most comfortable with, especially Tammy and Stokely. But I think you look at Decker, I think he's his kind of possession guy in there. So I would say the middle of the field. And then for the Patriots, I think it's up the middle. I think they would like to get pressure up the middle, in my opinion. As much as you'd like to count on Jones to come from the edge, I think they'd like to make Dan Copen work for his money and get some pressure up the middle.
And I think that's where you might be able to get the most pressure. I also think that, Denver defensively going against the Patriots offense, they have to find a way to disrupt things. And I think it's funny, we don't usually talk about this, but they need to take the run away. They need to make sure that the Patriots only move the ball one way. They can't, you know, the 2 weeks that the Patriots offense has been remarkably efficient was week one and week four. And that's when they were able to run the ball as well as pass it. So I think Denver needs to figure out a way to stop the run without devoting really personnel to do it. Because if you do that, then you're going to get exposed in the passing game. So I think they need to figure that out.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Paul Perillo, Andy Hart here on Patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We're taking you up to Patriots and Broncos at 425. We've given our view on the Patriots. We'll get the view from the other side coming up next here on Patriots.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots Pregame Social.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots Pregame Social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We're taking you up to Patriots and Broncos kickoff at 4:25. We've given you quite a bit on the Patriots' perspective. Let's get the view from the other side in this matchup with Denver.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
And to do that, we welcome in Mike Kliss of the Denver Post here to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Mike, first of all, thanks so much for taking the time here. What do you expect out of this matchup today between the Patriots and Broncos?
Well, I think most people expect some points on the board. You know, I think the Broncos will score 24. I don't necessarily think they'll win. You know, I think they got a shot to win, but I don't think they will because of where we're playing this game. But I think, you know, Peyton Manning can score. He scored on everybody. The, you know, Houston Texans, they're 4-0. The Atlanta Falcons are 4-0. He threw three picks in the first quarter, as everyone saw. And then he still put up some points against them. So, you know, I think he'll score.
Obviously, one of the big topics is Peyton Manning, his return to Foxborough as a player after signing autographs on the sideline last year.
Yeah.
You've seen every throw of his, I'm sure, you know, dating back the last couple months. Where do you think he is? People have been talking about the wobblers. They've been talking about the accuracy, talking about the velocity. Where do you think he is?
You know, when he first, that very first mini camp, I was like, uh-oh. What are they?
We paid how much for this guy?
Yeah, and it was like everything he threw was 10 to 12 yards. It was, and he had zip on a ball, and he was accurate, but it was 10. I was like, why is everything 10 to 12 yards? Where's? And then as minicamp went on, he tried a couple of deep balls, and they wobbled, and they were fluttered, and they got there by surprise. You know, there was no safety back, even in minicamp. But it got better and better as it came on, and frankly, he's much ahead of where I thought he would be. I mean, I was one of the biggest skeptics coming in, you know, maybe because I covered baseball so long. These 36-year-olds who miss a whole season at 35 with four neck surgeries, I wasn't expecting anything in his arm. And my
in baseball, you just take steroids in your
heart.
You don't do that in football?
It's a different story for a different day.
Right, exactly. But what I've said is, you know, he's not Curt Schilling. He was always kind of Greg Maddux anyway. So he's down 2 or 3 miles an hour. And, you know, he's still effective. I mean, his arm's maybe not as strong as it was, but it's still like maybe 90%, and it's good enough.
The offense in general, I know that Mike McCoy sort of left it in his hands and allowed him to run the system that he was comfortable with. How has that gone over with the other 10 guys? Have they been able to sort of get on the same page? You mentioned they have been scoring. How does that look? I mean, that's a difficult transition, I would imagine.
You know what they're doing? They still, half the offense is still Josh McDaniels' offense. Not to bring up Josh McDaniels. But I think basically the running game and the terminology is still the New England Patriots offense. Manning came in, and he's all the no huddle, and he's at the line, and it's his route tree. It's his passing routes. So it's gone 50-50. And they said it was going to be a blend, and you kind of say, yeah, you're just saying that to try to, you know. But it really is. It's half New England, especially in the running game, and it's half Peyton Manning. And I don't think the team has quite – it's still got a ways to go offensively. It hasn't gelled yet. I think it's, you know, in theory it's going to be better December 1st, even though the Broncos are never good in December for whatever reason. But it should be better. They should be better December 1st offensively than they are now.
Where is he getting comfortable with the receivers? Obviously, we know for years it was Harrison and Wayne and the whole pregame warm-up, and they could do it practically with their eyes closed. You know, obviously, I think Thomas is probably the best athlete, the most talented receiver. But where is his comfort level with his various weapons?
You know, he had Tammy for a full year in 2010. He's the H-back, and, you know, he's kind of what Aaron Hernandez was for you guys last year. And so he's there with him. He's got Brandon Stokley in the slot. He brought him – Stokley was basically done, and Manning brought him back, resurrected his career, and he's a slot guy. So he's got those two guys in his hip pocket. If it's 3rd and 6 and you got to have it, you got to have the first down, he's got those two guys. Thomas is the athlete, and he's maybe not on the same page as much as the others, but they do bubble screens, they do short stuff, and they let Thomas kind of do his own thing, you know, yards after the catch. And then he and Eric Decker probably put the most time in since he signed with the Broncos. I mean, they went to high school fields, they went to soccer fields, they went to parks before they were able to report to minicamp. There was like a 2-month window in there. Mm-hmm. And they did a lot of practice, and he and Decker are pretty much on the same page, although Decker's dropped some balls. He probably leads the team in drops, and he better stop doing that if he wants to continue to be, you know, Peyton Manning's pet.
Now, on defense for Denver, depending on who you listen to, they're either the 2000 Ravens or the, you know,
Bill Belichick,
2011
right?
Patriots.
Bill Belichick talked them up this week.
But I've heard a lot of both. I've heard them say they're very stout defensively and they can do a lot of things. And I've heard other people say, well, they're really not very good. Which is it?
I think what I have noticed right off the bat is they are much improved against the run. This team, 3 previous years, they were 22nd against the run, 31st, and 26th. This year they're 9th. Now it's a small sample size,
right?
4 games in at quarter pole, but still that's what's jumped out to me is how stout they are against the run, which is surprised me because they've lost DJ Williams now for 9-game suspension, and he's their best linebacker. And they lost Ty Warren, of course, who, you know, third consecutive injury before he got started. So they lost two key components in that run defense, and they're still pretty good. And they do credit Del Rio with the schemes and the way he teaches it, that they're much better that way. And then, really, guys, in the secondary, the New England Patriots caused the Broncos to reconstruct their defense in the offseason. Last year, if you remember, the Broncos had no one who could cover a tight end, which is a big problem against the Patriots. You know, I mean, Hernandez torched them in the first game, and then Gronkowski torched them in the second game.
Yep.
So they went out and they got Mike Adams, who's, you know, not a household name, but he had started for the Browns, and he's better than what was, you know, a washed-up Brian Dawkins last year. So he can cover better. They got Tracy Porter, who's an upgrade from Andre Goodman, even though Porter has had his moments against the Houston Texans. He had a bad game. And they have now Raheem Moore was a rookie who was lost last year. Now he's a second-year guy and kind of knows what he's doing. So they really improved in that area. Von Miller was lost. Von Miller's a great pass rusher, but teams attack him in the pass as far as coverage, and they attack him on the run. So, but he's a little better at that type of stuff. So that's where they think they're improved in the secondary. Well, this is a great test. Hernandez isn't going to play, right?
Right,
That is a huge break for the Broncos because I still don't think they quite can match up well against the double tight end threat that the Patriots have. Well, now they only have one. We'll see how they – and, you know, by all accounts, Gronkowski's not right either.
Right.
So, again, if this wasn't at Gillette Stadium, I would say the Broncos are catching the Patriots. In my opinion, I think they're catching them at the right time. Right. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think that if they got a better chance now than, say, later.
So what's the overall sentiment in Denver? Obviously, you opened up with maybe the toughest schedule in the NFL from where I said playing. You mentioned the run defense is better, but who knows? Well, they faced Atlanta with Michael Turner. They faced Arian Foster. Beat the Steelers. That's a tough schedule. 2-2 for a team that was 8-8 last year. I mean, do people feel like this is going to pay off long term and they're going in the right direction this year?
Yeah, people are thinking playoffs, but it's going to be rough early because of the schedule.
Right.
I mean, so far they've lost a 4-0, two 4-0 teams.
Right.
Now, you know, one reason why they're 4-0 is because they beat the Broncos, but they could have done something about that 4-0. but you know, now you got New England next week. They're at San Diego. I mean, you know, this could be a good team in 2-4 at their bye week.
But it could forge you for a long term, maybe December, January.
You know, it gets easier. You know, at the last 7 games, the only real quality team is Baltimore on the road. And so they got a chance to make up some ground later, definitely. But the reason why the schedule's so tough early is all these networks fought to do Peyton Manning games. And when you do, in fact, I'm shocked that this game's not primetime.
Right. We were a little surprised, too, when
stunned.
It came out.
But they've got so many primetime games that they had to say no to somebody, I guess. And so, you know, the thinking was that, you know, how long is Manning going to hold up?
Get him early.
Get him early. And so when you have a network game, you give him a big matchup.
Right.
So that's why the schedule, I think, is so tough early.
Champ Bailey, are they still moving him around on the other team's best receiver?
It depends if there's one clear-cut best.
So probably not today, then.
Yeah, I don't know what they think of Brandon Lloyd.
What do you think of Brandon Lloyd?
I think that would be a tremendous waste of Champ Bailey if they locked him up on Brandon Lloyd. No disrespect to Lloyd.
They just don't use him.
Yeah. Why bother, you know, having a guy on what I think is probably the third or fourth option if everybody were healthy?
Right. And so he is a left cornerback, and he generally stays there. And they play a lot of zone. It'll be interesting to see if they play zone or man-to-man, or I'm guessing they'll mix it up. But I guess he would be on the left-hand side. Chris Harris, the nickelback, was 100% on Welker last year, and they liked the job he did on him. And I said, you know, he can't get too carried away with the job Harris did on Welker because Gronkowski and Hernandez were open for, you know.
I took my guy out.
What else are you guys doing?
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Gronkowski. You know, I think that's the guy they're going to try to stop today. And they're either going to – I'm sure they'll chip him. You know, Von Miller or Elvis or the rookie, Derek Wolfe, will chip as Gronkowski comes off. And then I don't know if it's Woodyard, a linebacker that'll try to stay. Mike Adams also does a lot of tight end work. Probably be a combination. Mm-hmm. But Champ's still playing at a high level. I'm telling you, Andre Johnson burned Tracy Porter early in the game, and then Champ had him the rest of the game, and Johnson had one more catch. And that was for a third down at the end of the game.
At the end of the game, I know the play you're talking about. We were actually watching that just as we're doing right now.
Yeah.
While we're doing this show, we're watching that game.
Right.
We're joined by Mike Gliss of the Denver Post here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Mike, going back to Brandon Lloyd for a minute, he was in Denver for a year. You covered him there. What'd you think about the move to New England for Brandon Lloyd, the fit?
Yeah, I was surprised because you know, and I'm fascinated by Belichick. I am. From afar, you know, and covering the league, there's so much parity in this league, and yet, you know, even with Matt Castle, they go 11-5 and they're 12-4. I think Belichick's one of the more fascinating guys. You know, I think there's something to the video cameras and that kind of thing. But
that's Cliff.
You know, and it's the type of players. First of all, Brandon Lloyd is a Josh McDaniels guy. You know, going back 2009, McDaniels is hired in January. He signs Brandon Lloyd off the street in June 2009. So all the free agency went by. Brandon Lloyd's unemployed. He's out of football. And so McDaniels signs him, but he doesn't play him. He doesn't dress the first 14 games in 2009. And then I think Brandon Marshall got suspended for being Brandon Marshall. And then I can't remember, but he played the last two games, played pretty well. And then in 2010, from nowhere, came this great, great season. And I'm telling you, Lloyd makes the most acrobatic. He's one of the prettiest as far as, you know, for your vision, your eyesight, one of the prettiest receivers to watch, no doubt about it. But I always got the impression when they traded him last year, you heard a lot, you know, they didn't say it on the record, but you heard a lot. There are Pro Bowl players and there are Super Bowl players. We want Super Bowl players. In other words, you know, Brandon's not a winner. He's about stats. I think last year that was the case because it was his contract.
Adrian Gonzalez for the Red Sox.
Well, yeah. And it also sort of flies in the face of the old Scott Pioli when he was here. You're not collecting talent. You're building a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
That would say he's not necessarily a Patriot,
right.
But they wanted him.
But Belichick has done that a little bit. He did, you know, Moss had kind of that reputation, and he rehabbed him, and it didn't work with Ocho Cinco and Haynesworth last year. But Belichick seems like he's more open to taking those type of talent and trying to mold them into team first guys. And, you know, Brandon's got a lot of personality, you know, as you guys know, a lot of personality. Got the biggest cackle laugh in the locker room. I don't know if they let anybody laugh. And the perception is
not too many.
Yeah. We try.
But you know, he's a heck of a talent. There's no doubt about it. And Champ Bailey said this week he's probably the most athletic player in the league. And he said that from you know, practicing against him for two full years. And pure athleticism, I agree. That guy can jump out of the gym. You know, his hand, he has tremendous hands. He makes tremendous catches. He had a reputation early that he couldn't catch the easy one. He'd make the tough one and drop the easy one. I don't know how he's been here, but he had great hands with the Broncos. And this is Josh McDaniel. It was interesting to us that Bill Belichick took back Josh, and not only took back Josh, but trusted him enough with Brandon Lloyd, because he's here because of Josh McDaniels.
Definitely.
But what have you seen in a small sample size from Dan Copen?
Well, it's been one half. He's a nice guy. You know,
she's got a great personality.
Well, I tell you what, it was interesting to see him in the Bronco locker room because he's had all this success here. I mean, he had the two Super Bowl teams that, you know, the rings. You know, the 2007 thing, I've always said it's weird. I don't know how it is here, but from afar, that 2007 team is still considered one of the greatest teams of all time. It doesn't have a Super Bowl to show for it. And Copen almost said that was the biggest thing here in his career, was that 2007 pursuit of perfection. And, you know, and he's accomplished all this, and he comes in there and he sits behind J.D. Walton for 3 weeks, you know, and then Copen was very respectful. He was like, look, this isn't about me. This is a tough time for J.D. Walton. And, you know, I thought it was a lot of class. He's real professional. He has talked to the media, So I don't know if that was the case here. But we'll see. He only played the second half. I mean, he's played one half so far for the Broncos. And they had a great second half against the Oakland Raiders, so he didn't screw it up. So, and to tell you the truth, guys, I don't know. You know, I let the coaches tell me how a center does or how a left guard does.
Yeah,
I generally do the same. I don't watch in there. I watch the ball.
But just think of the stories that his butt can tell. He goes from Tom Brady's hands to Peyton Manning. I mean, those are some Hall of Fame hands right there that are under that tushy.
Yeah, I've said, what a lucky butt.
Brady always says it's his second favorite butt after Giselle's.
Yeah, so. I brought that quote. I dug up. I Googled that quote and used it when they signed him. And I thought when they signed him that they did it to replace J.D. Walton because of the no huddle. You know, Peyton Manning wants to run the no huddle, and it seemed like the team wasn't catching up to Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. And I thought Copen would be brought in to help them because the center is so big on the no huddle. He's the second quarterback in the hurry up with the protections and everything. And I thought they wanted Copen's experience with the no huddle and the hurry up. It sounds like they only brought him in for insurance. I mean, his contract is minimum. There's no incentives in the contract. So he's playing for minimum wage. The Broncos got it surprised me, really, that the Broncos got him so cheap. And they're also, very fortunate to get him when they did in light of what's happened.
Mm-hmm. All right. He's Mike Kliss of the Denver Post joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Kliss, K-L-I-S. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time.
Great, guys. I enjoyed it.
All right. Mike Kliss joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We will get to the inactives coming up here in a few minutes. But first, time now for our Bose headphone giveaway. The eighth caller to the contest line at 508-298-0392. Again, the contest line, 508-298-0392, wins a pair of Bose SIE2 Sport headphones. To push your work to the limit, you need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat, and weather resistance, a comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok Fitness armband. You demand more from your workout. Shouldn't you demand more from your headphones, as well? Bose, game-changing sound. We'll get to your phone calls, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com, and we'll get you the inactives from this matchup between the Patriots and the Broncos coming up next here on patriots.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo sacks at Jerod Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Brandon Bolden of New England Patriots. Now get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paul Perello on the Patriots Pregame Social.
You know what? We were making fun of Kevin Collins for getting Brandon Bolden all the way back in the preseason.
137 yards, Brandon Bolden.
That was LePan.
Oh, LePan, excuse me. We were making fun of LePan. Well, I don't take that back.
You should still make fun of LePan.
I don't take that back.
Career high last year.
The only running back out of Mississippi State who's never fumbled in his NFL career.
He's never fumbled, right?
It's Mississippi.
He's also Ole Miss. Yeah,
whatever.
Shut up.
Yeah. The other side of
get to the inactive.
The other side of the Egg Bowl. It is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart.
The Egg Bowl.
Paul Perillo. Yeah.
Do they play for a big egg?
Ole Miss, Miss State. I don't know what they play for. It's called the Egg Bowl.
Well, usually, like the Apple Cup is
they
for.
They play
an
to determine
cup.
A winner.
Yeah, maybe you get. Well, maybe you do get an egg. I'll look that up. I'll Wikipedia that. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Hello,
we'll get your phone calls.
You play to win the game.
We'll get your phone calls 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio
at
patriots.com. But the inactives just came down the wire.
Huge.
And the players who have been ruled out. We already knew about Julian Edelman, and we already knew about Steve Gregory. The others are Aaron Hernandez, which doesn't seem like a surprise given what we were talking about off the top. How about Dante Hightower, Michael Omanawanui, Jake Beckett, and Matt Tennant? Your reaction there.
The only notable one is the Hightower one. Obviously, he didn't look injured this week. You know, we do our little, where's he headed? Is he going to the training room? Is he going to the meeting room? Is he in the locker room? Is he not in the locker room? He was in the locker room, said it would be a game-time decision. Was on the practice field all week, limited. I am mildly surprised that he is inactive here. And I just wonder if it's a cautious thing with a hamstring injury, because, you know, those can linger and you can make it worse and all that. You know, the conspiracy theorist is going to say, well, because he told everybody it was a game-time decision, Belichick said, I made my decision and you ain't playing, because, you know, Greg Bedard was saying, oh, it looked like Bill was kind of talking to him after he had made that comment this week. I don't know if there's anything to that. And it's just, you know, it's good they have Bobby Carpenter back to fill a little versatility there. And then obviously Mankins being active is good.
I'd be very surprised if it had anything to do with the fact
that
he talked about it.
I would too, but I like to throw it out there. You never know.
No, I know that you're not the one that sort of asserted that. I'm wondering if maybe he went out there today. I mean, he said on Friday it would probably be a game-time decision. Now, I think he said too much on Friday, and that's where the players sort of talked about that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, I'm talking. I can't do my Victor
Cruz
salsa
dance
again for the third time
today.
His
third touchdown catch, yeah.
I think the situation with Hightower, he said, was a game-time decision. My guess is he went out there and, you know, didn't feel great. And why they, you know, why risking it if they don't feel too good about it? You know, they're going to have to figure it out. I think Andy makes a great point with Carpenter. It's a guy that's versatile. He's not an every down, every day linebacker by any means, but he should be able to fill in and, you know, be a reasonable facsimile. In the short term, it's probably not a huge problem, and you want to make sure you keep a hamstring short term and don't turn it into a long term problem.
Is this a game where you probably wouldn't have seen as much Hightower anyway? You're going to be in sub packages an awful lot. He's the guy who typically comes off the field.
It's possible.
Yeah, I saw, Mike Reese put his quarter pole percentages, and obviously Mayo was at like 93%, and then Spikes was your second at 60 something, and Hightower was down below right around 50. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's obviously the first one off in a lot of situations. They try to stay balanced. You want Spikes for his run defense, as good as he's been against the run lately and sort of forcing turnovers. But I'm guessing it's as much about just flat out his health situation, you know, in terms of he cold game and he wasn't ready to go today, or, you know, just being cautious and making sure he's healthy for the long term.
And all of the Denver inactives, by the way, are healthy scratches, because they had five guys listed on their injury report as all being probable, and none of those five are inactive. So no one of any consequence is missing the game for Denver.
All right, we'll have more thoughts on the inactives.
Although no Sean Moreno is one of them, but again, he's a healthy scratch, so...
We'll have more thoughts coming
just
up here.
Just because you have a big name doesn't mean
exactly.
You're a big-time player.
On the inactives. We'll also get your emails, webradio@patriots.com. But right now, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, where we're joined by Ann of the Pikes Peak Pats Fan Club. And Ann, where are you at right now for this game?
We are in Lot 3, right near the tunnel.
Oh, nice. Is it raining out there yet?
I was just about to ask. How's the weather?
What's the weather?
It is raining like a son of a gun.
Oh, son of a gun.
Uh-huh. What can you do?
Well, how's the food out there right now?
Oh, piles. We're eating like kings and queens.
Nice. Have you enjoyed the trip back to the homeland?
Oh, everybody has. Everybody has. Everyone has family here. We invited family to our tailgate. We have this massive tailgate going. We had two Boston firefighters, and you know how those guys know how to organize and cook, and they're in charge of our tailgate, my two cousins, and they are cooking like you can't even believe.
And what's your feeling? Obviously, this is a matchup that's close to your heart because you're stuck out in Bronco land and you got your team. What's the feeling heading into the latest installment of Brady Manning?
Oh, well, you know what? This is just so historical, number one. They're back together again. And, of course, we're going to kick butt.
You can say ass if you want on this show, you know.
Well, ass.
Now, let me ask you a question. We were talking about this earlier in this Brady-Manning matchup. Did you used to hate Manning more, and has the time away or the injury or anything lessened your hate for him?
Well, you know what? I never really hated him. I mean, I never wanted him to be Brady, obviously. But in reality, I admire his athleticism. He's a good guy. And I never hated him. I just hated the Colts in general. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Yeah. I think that's how a lot of people feel now. Yeah,
yeah,
I agree with you.
He's a nice, nice guy. He's a wicked nice guy. You know? And
but you want to kick his ass.
I want his ass. I want to kick his ass.
How many? You said you have a large crowd out there. How many are you estimating?
How many would you say we have, Cody? About 100?
Hey, Cody.
We have about 100.
That's Cody chiming in.
Cody, you want to say hi to Cody?
Sure, put Cody on.
Hey, this is Cody.
Hey, what's up, Cody? Who the hell are you? Who are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm the vice president of Pikes Peak Pats, and I'm also one of the founding members.
Oh, nice.
So if something happens, then you have to take over. I understand. Vice president. I get it.
Yeah.
So you guys need to separate a little bit. You're not supposed to not allow one bullet to take you both down.
Right.
So what's your feeling on the Manning-Brady matchup? Do you hate Manning?
I respect him as a player and as an athlete. I think everybody that's a football fan probably would agree with me on that. I know that, Brady and Manning have a long history together. I know they're good friends and everything, and I know there's a tremendous amount of respect between the two of them. I look forward to a great game, but I look forward to a big Patriots win.
Just so you know, when first kickoff starts, I want to hear you screaming, "Tear his head off!"
Oh, yeah, you'll be hearing it.
All right. Should we talk to Ann again? All right.
You betcha.
This
Hello,
is awesome.
I'm back.
Hey, you're back, Ann. How are you?
Good, very good.
So what's the rest of the day look like for you? You guys going to do a little post-tailgating after the victory?
Well, I know we only have 2 hours in the parking lot before they throw you out. But I think we're going to come back. Our cooks are going to, a couple of minutes before the end of the game, they're going to come out and warm up the grills, and we're going to finish off the food.
All right. Well, enjoy the day. Brady Manning,
okay.
Colts, your hometown team versus your hometown team.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
Thanks.
But, of course, we're Pats fans no matter what.
That's right.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right, Ann, thanks for the phone call. Stay dry.
Okay. Take care.
All right, that's Ann of the Pikes
Kick Peak us.
Patriots fan club coming in and just cursing right at Peyton Manning. Just throwing haymakers at Peyton Manning. And by the way, if you're like Ann, you're out in the parking lot, you're tailgating leading up to this thing, you can send into your pictures to webradio at patriots.com. You can also tweet them using the hashtag PPGS. And as Andy likes to point out, with the rain,
it's nippy out there.
A little cold out there. You know, you can send in your pictures.
Going streaking. Cold out there, Frank. No,
we'll get to your phone calls 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Let's head all the way back down to the Polls Center as Matt LePan gets us up to speed. What's going on over there, Matt?
Way down here in the Polls Center,
yep.
We have a new one. What is the most intriguing matchup today? Solder versus Doomerville, Cleedy versus Chandler Jones, Brandon Lloyd versus Champ Bailey, Decker versus Devin McCourty, and Brandon Spikes versus Willis McGahee.
Clady versus Chandler Jones. That's a good athletic
3%
young tackle.
I like those because it's, you know, there's good players on both sides.
Yeah.
I like one.
I like it. Let's measure where our developing defensive rookie of the month is as kind of making a next challenge. And plus, you know, I think it could have a legitimate impact on the game if he plays well and can handle that.
You touched on this a little earlier with the week that Solder and Vollmer had last week against those Bills defensive ends.
Those overrated Bills defensive ends.
And I was going to ask, how do those guys compare to the combo of Von Miller and Elvis Doomerville?
Oh, I think Miller and Doomerville together are far better because, I don't want to be mean, but I don't really think much of Mark Anderson. And Mario Williams has been laying an egg pretty early in his career.
See, now they're talking about a wrist injury,
yeah.
And Buffalo's in trouble for not
right.
reporting it on the injury list and all
hurt.
This stuff.
Whatever, he's not producing.
Yeah.
And I think Von Miller and Doomerville are both very good edge guys. Now, as Mike Kliss talked about, especially Miller, he's not huge. He's like 230 or whatever his size is. He's pretty small. And you might be able to run at him and take advantage of that, but as a pass rusher, remember coming out, everybody said, this guy can't miss, and guess what? He didn't miss.
Yeah, I think these guys are much more dynamic and athletic than the combination of Williams and Anderson. The one thing you can't – I think Mario Williams is the best all-around player of the four, but he hasn't really – as Andy said, he's been a complete and total bust so far. He's been very quiet. I think these guys are more of a challenge. I think they're better pure pass rushers than either of the other two.
I think both
of them are better than either of the other two.
Get back to the something Kliss said. I'm sorry, we're putting Kevin to sleep in there. I heard a large yawn coming through the glass. The fact that this is a melding of the Colts offense and the Patriots offense from the 2000s, and you know they're keeping the terminology from McDaniels and on the ground game, whatever. That's fascinating to me. Like, theoretically, this should be the greatest offense ever if you meld the old Colts offense with the old Patriots offense. I mean, those are, you know, two guys who threw for 50 and 49 touchdown passes and were undefeated every year. This should be a great offense, no, Paul?
Absolutely. I think it has the makings of
and that. And I hadn't heard that. Had you heard that?
I had no idea. That's
breaking
why,
news here on the PPGS.
I mean, all we heard all week from Belichick was it's the Colts. You just
right.
you click into Colts tape, and this is what you see. This is all the stuff that they're doing is just like what they did in Indianapolis. And, you know, Andy and I sort of extrapolated from that during the course of the week. Is Thomas sort of serving as, you know, Wayne, and Decker is trying to be Harris? You know, because they forever, Adam, were known as just – you know, one guy would be on the left. One, they didn't do a whole lot of motion, not a lot of formation adjustments during the course of play, and just kind of this is what we do. We go out and we execute like crazy, and we get it done, and that's how we operate. To hear Mike talk about sort of a melding of the Patriots, because that's totally different. The Patriots is incredibly reliant on formation adjustments and personnel groupings and whatnot and a lot of timing stuff across the middle. And you're right. If you can succeed somehow at a high level and meld those two schemes
and
together.
And have Manning running it. It's not like you have Tim Tebow running this melding. Right. You have one of the great quarterbacks running it.
Interesting.
Quick update from, as Ann said, but Eric sort of adding to, rainfall becoming steadier and heavier and the Gillette Stadium field getting slicker. Don't you think Peyton is coming out the tunnel saying,
you gotta
is it ever nice
me.
In this hell-forsaken place?
You've got
it's
to be
never nice. I hate this place.
No, it's
is
funny
there a better bad weather quarterback than Brady, too?
Oh,
this
no.
This is kind of working
well,
right into our hands.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of what we're talking
that's my
about.
Point. You never really get Brady Manning because it's always weather. It's always Brady and weather versus Manning.
And it's funny, like, you go I'm back never and you, happy. You look at a lot of those happy. Games. There was Brady's first ever start. Was week three of 01, and it was so it's mid-September here in Foxborough. You would think, well, that was a good weather game. It was ridiculously windy that day, and something that you know you look
yeah,
back
game
on.
Blew.
You look back on, and it's like it's unbelievable the bad luck that you get when you're a guy that had spent to that point his entire career indoors.
I want to circle
better
back.
Get used to it though. Now they had snow in Denver the other day, so get used to crap weather, Peyton.
I want to circle back to the inactives here for a moment. We mentioned the headlining. We already knew that Gregory and Edelman were out. Aaron Hernandez has been ruled out along with Dante Hightower. Those are the big ones from today. Logan Mankins is active. Something I saw from Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald, we're going to see Alphonso Dennard potentially for the first time today. How much, if at all, do you expect to see him on the field?
I don't expect to see him a lot, but yeah, he's active. Justin Francis is active too. I mean, there could be some guys making their debuts, but yeah, I'm not sold.
I think you'll see a little of him because I think you're going to need to have extra defensive backs, especially if the Patriots can get out in front and have it be the way that some of these games that we talked about earlier, where the Patriots seem to get a lead against Indianapolis. Now they have to do the same thing and get a lead against Denver. And then I think you could see Dennard get a lot of snaps, maybe a little bit more than Andy does, because I feel like you're going to need some extra defensive backs. You're already down one.
Great.
With Gregory.
We'll put our freaking rookie with a bad hamstring up against Peyton Manning in his career debut. All right, can I change my pick and take the over?
It's the Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Paul Perillo, Andy Hart here on Patriots.com. We're presented by Dunkin' Donuts. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey cheddar bacon and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. What are you fussing about?
I'll take
over there?
One of those cheddars next week. Double
we'll,
D's.
We'll send that message to Dunkin' Donuts. Do want to check the emails here? Webradio@patriots.com. Vishon writes in from New York, guys.
Leonard?
Not Vishon Leonard. Okay. Who do you think is better in coverage, McCourty or Asante Samuel when he was on the Patriots? I think if we had both of them on our team now, our secondary would be much better. Love the show. Hype for the game. Go Pats.
Samuel. I mean, Samuel's proven himself a productive Pro Bowl corner. I know a lot of people, oh, he cheats, he jumps routes, he's a gambler. Well, you know what? When he gambles, he makes plays, and I like that. And I hope that McCourty can get there, you know, give up some plays, but make – I mean, Samuel has – seems like he rolls out of bed and has seven picks every year, seven or eight picks. It's like production, proven production.
Yeah, I'm not – you know, I understand that Samuel has some – drawbacks. You know, there's some warts to his game, and we kind of focus on the interceptions, but, I mean, I think Samuel has been a much better quarterback throughout his career than McCourty has been in his, two-plus seasons.
What do you think of McCourty? I guess on
McCourty,
balance, I mean,
McCourty
really,
played better last week, and not just because of the interceptions. Well, his one thing that's sort of been – I'm glad you brought this up. It's one thing that's sort of bothering me a little bit about the whole perception. Andy's been talking about the middle of the field all day. You know, the Patriots have had some problems. Why is it that doesn't involve cornerbacks? Like everybody says, the cornerbacks were great last week against Buffalo. It was the safeties. The middle of the field was open. A cornerback's not allowed to go inside the numbers. They don't have to cover guys over the middle.
Do you disagree with that, though?
Yeah, I do disagree with it.
Well,
I think the cornerback struggled.
Man.
I think the cornerback struggled on some crossing routes, and they have struggled badly against Baltimore and against Buffalo on some crossing routes that began outside the numbers. Now, did they become that play, does it become a 68-yard touchdown for Donald Jones because of the cornerback or because of the safety? The safety.
Right.
You know, Patrick Chung made a bad
both
play.
Both, plural.
And then Gregory couldn't.
Both channeled their inner Brandon Merriweather on the same play.
But I just think it's kind of funny that we said, well, there weren't a lot of 15-yard outs completed, so the cornerbacks just shut. Well, that's not always the case. And
especially
I think that,
when the first pick should have been a 94-yard touchdown or whatever that
oh,
was.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's another one. But I do think McCourty was much better, and I thought Andy said it right early in the show, talking about how Belichick talked about McCourty and the faith that he has in him, and he gave a strong backing of him that you could see on all Patriots All Access if anybody missed that. the post-game locker room. He was
Paul's on that
very,
show, too.
Very, so,
it's a pretty good show.
Very adamant about McCourty's development.
What have you thought of McCourty on balance? Because outside of that fourth quarter against Baltimore, it seems like he's having a bounce-back season.
I don't see that.
You don't see it.
Bounce back more like a squash ball than a racquetball.
Kind
sure.
of not
bounce and thud.
Bouncing back from last season. Do you just, apparently
he's
Paul,
not worse than
Paul
he was
disagrees.
Last year.
Yeah, no, he's been better than he was last year.
But I
would have
liked
been,
a racquetball that came flying back to Pro Bowl corner, not thuff. Mm-hmm. Just kind of flew on the floor in front of you. I think he's better. He's not worse. But I certainly don't think he's where I want my first-round pick to be, my defensive captain to be in his third NFL season.
Yeah, I'm okay with how he's played, but I don't think I think that it's being sort of overblown a little bit.
Especially if that play, that one play, changes.
Absolutely.
If you give up a 90-yard touchdown as opposed to an interception
on a well-thrown ball,
that's a massive flip.
And that guy was that open on that play.
Oh yeah.
And it's not like McCourty saw the ball and adjusted to it, and that's why he was open.
It's a bad throw.
He got beat.
Badly beaten on that play.
508-298-0398. It's the A's Ticket Hotline.
Positive over here.
Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Al from Italy writes in, guys,
Fat Al.
I'm scared about this game. We're pretty inconsistent. I'm having dinner during the show, so Andy, shut up. Less Andy, more Paul.
There's a shock. The fat guy's having dinner.
So what do you think? Should Patriots fans be afraid or scared of this matchup like Al is?
Hell yeah.
I think this has the possibilities of, as I said, being one of those last possession games. Now, the weather, I think, is going to play dramatically in the Patriots' favor because Brady performs so well in all kinds of weather, and Manning doesn't. So I think that's that could be a big factor. If it's windy and wet, that could be a big plus in
but
the Patriots.
The only thing I would say, not against that, but a little cautiously optimistic, is Brandon Lloyd, Daniel Fells, I don't know how good he is in bad weather, Bolden and Ridley. You kind of have some new possession guys.
Ridley is one to watch for.
Who, wet ball, you never know. And, everybody always says weather's the great equalizer. And this isn't, I would say this isn't Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, but right now Ben Jarvis Green Ellis
right.
is Mr. Fumble.
Fumbling every other week, yeah.
When he was a Patriot, there was certainly no fear that there was going to be a fumble, whereas Ridley put one on the ground last week that rolled out of bounds. I just wonder if that plays into any mentality, and you just never know when you have new guys that aren't proven and trusted with Brady and Belichick and the whole shebang.
Balls feel good. That ball there has silicone on it.
Balls feel good.
He's making fun of you saying wet balls.
Ball, well,
I crack
in the rain, generally the ball is going to be wet.
I
heard it immediately. I wanted to allow him.
Whoa,
are
you going to compare that to whatever you said earlier?
I'm just telling you that I
it. He just wanted to come a little bit.
No, right.
No,
right.
No, it's all.
I want to see them come, is what I said.
That's even worse.
Jumping,
you dirty,
still competing
dirty.
To get their hands on balls, and right now I'm intrigued by that competition.
You guys touched on the running backs briefly.
We touched on some wet balls.
And you touched on a few wet balls. And I'm curious for your thoughts on how they divvy things up this week with Ridley and Bolden and Woodhead after Bolden's performance last week.
Well, I still think it's Ridley's game. I think it's Ridley is your lead back for whatever that percentage means, if it's 80, 70, 60, 55. The majority of the carries are going to go to him, or the plurality of the carries, whatever it may be. And then if Bolden's having a day, they're going to keep giving him a chance to have a day. I mean, I think that's how it starts.
Yeah, well, I want Ridley to always be the guy. I want him to be the constant every week. When they run the ball, I want to start with him. If you want to alternate or base your decision on game plan for Woodhead and Bolden, I can see that a little bit more. And maybe this is a week that they're going to spend more time in spread formations and they want to attack with Woodhead. Okay, fine. I want Ridley to be a constant in the offense when they run the ball. I want to start with him and then sort of branch out from there. I just think that he's the best back that the team has, and I'd like to see him be committed to a little bit more.
What'd you take away, if anything, from the fact that Bolden was getting the reps in the backfield over Vereen, who was a second-round pick a year ago?
Well, I think Vereen is just getting back. He was active for the first time last week, and then he's going to be active again today, obviously, so maybe we'll see some of that sort of start to slide in his direction, but I'm not overly surprised. I mean, the guy was basically out of action for a month to throw him back. And he was out there immediately in the game. He had a chance to get the ball in his hands a couple of times on the first drive. I think he had a carry and a short catch on the first drive of the game. Now, he didn't play that much. He probably didn't play more than 10 plays in the game. So that was interesting to see how they incorporated him right away.
Andy, what'd you think of Vereen being, I guess, passed over and the reps going to Bolden?
Well, I mean, when you're successful, they're going to feed it to you. And obviously, Bolden had a great week last week. And I'm disappointed overall in Vereen. I think he can be a factor in this offense. I think ideally, even now, with what you're hoping you're seeing from Bolden, he replaces Woodhead. I still think he is one of the top couple backs on this roster in terms of talent. But what I think is irrelevant, what Bill Belichick thought when he drafted him, is irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is what he is now in terms of health and production. And right now, the health has been an issue for a year and a half, and the production has been an issue for a year and a half, so he's nothing.
Do you see him as a threat to Woodhead's
yes,
snaps,
he should
I guess,
be. Because, God well, forbid, but damn it, he should be.
Well, but eventually, yes. I guess just frame-wise, you look at Bolden as more of a Ridley type than a Woodhead type.
Oh, wait, are we talking about Vereen or Bolden?
I thought you were talking about Vereen. I thought you said Bolden. We were talking about Vereen. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah,
okay,
no,
so.
I don't look at Bolden as a Woodhead.
Bolden to me is a backup to Ridley.
I thought I heard Bolden. My mistake. Yeah, yeah.
Vereen is the guy that takes away, theoretically, the Woodhead role.
Well, let's check the emails here. Web radio.
Okay.
At Patriots.com. That's where Brian writes in from the Fox in New Mexico. Guys, I think Kyle Love has stepped up. We generally see four down rushers who don't drop back in coverage, but I'm not certain whether that's been the rule of thumb when a nickelback is in the lineup. Including linebackers, what personnel has been up front in defensive packages featuring an extra D-back?
They've been mostly four-man fronts with Ninkovich and Jones.
But the personnel is what he's now asking about. That's Love coming out and Cunningham coming in.
Well,
correct?
No. They have packages where it's Love, but yes, then the next guy in is Cunningham to be a pass rusher in true passing situations, I'd say.
And I agree that Love has been a player that's really done well. I think he's steady improvements every year, and I think he's blossomed into a really, really solid player up there right next to Vince.
We'll continue with your phone calls, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. We're taking you up to the Patriots and Broncos, 4:25 kickoff time, so about an hour away from Foxborough. When we come back, we'll head up to the press box, talk with Eric Scalavino of patriots.com. We'll also get to our six-pack. That's next here on patriots.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
About an hour away from kickoff between the Patriots and Broncos here in Foxborough, 4:25 Eastern kickoff time between those two sides. They each come in at 2-2. We will get to your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart, Paul Perillo here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. And we do have a winner for our giveaway from earlier today. Jason Seeley in Newton is the winner of our Bose headphone giveaway. To push your workout to the limit, you need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering the acclaimed Bose sound, sweat, and weather resistance, a comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok Fitness armband. You demand more from your workout. Shouldn't you demand more from your headphones as well? Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And that giveaway is something we'll be doing each and every week here on the program.
Bose!
Did want to get to the emails. To webradio@patriots.com. We were talking about the running backs, and that's where Brandon writes in. Guys, the emergence of Brandon Bolden put the brakes on Shane Vereen's chances to be a contributor on this team, or did the emergence of Brandon Bolden put the brakes on Shane Vereen's chances to be a contributor? We kind of touched on that earlier. He does have some over-unders for us. You guys ready?
Sure.
Total rushing yards in this one, I'm assuming for the Patriots, 130 over-under.
Over.
Under.
See, I'm with Paul. I think
you're always with Paul.
I feel like against this Denver team, maybe you can run on them.
I'm actually basing my
answer.
They've
run a buck 40 plus the last two times.
I'm basing my answer on what Mike Kliss said, that they've really done a good job. Now, sometimes Andy and I we use our little eyeball test. Yeah, not buying it. You know, maybe you ask me in the middle of the second quarter, I'll be like, you know, ninth ranked rush defense. My, you know what? You know, so who knows? But I'm just. I'm going on Mike's recommendation here.
Total passing yards, 320 over under.
Patriots under 320. I'm going to say over.
I'm going over as well.
Wow. Just a schnee.
Wow. Tom Brady touchdowns over under 3.
Push.
Under.
So I like push as well. I wish you would give us halves here, but I would take 3 or over.
By the way, on cue on our Asante Samuel talk was about a 70-yard touchdown pass from Kirk Cousins. to Santana Moss in the Washington game.
I've never seen a guy that wide open.
I didn't see how he got open, but they were showing Samuel on the sideline, so I'm guessing he had something to do with it.
It's the only time I saw Samuel, because he wasn't in the picture that included Santana Moss.
So evidently he was doing one of his cheat things.
Hey, I went for it. You win some, you lose some.
Speaking of the Patriots defense, defensive takeaways today, over under two.
Push.
I'm going to say push.
Two. Yeah. I like push as well. Brandon Lloyd.
I wish you would give me half.
Brandon.
I really wish they would give me half.
Brandon Lloyd catches over under seven. Under.
Under.
Yeah, I'm an unequivocal under there.
Especially if Champ Bailey is covering.
Unequivocal under.
Mm-hmm. Which means it'll be like 10 catches.
No chance.
Sacks
You'd have
allowed.
To throw him the ball 20 times for 10 catches.
Sacks allowed by the Patriots. Two.
Push.
Under.
So I'm under as well. I don't think they're going to get after Manning. He's going to get the ball up.
Oh, the Patriots sacks.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, I guess it didn't say sacks allowed, so I just assume he's how many sacks
I'm
gonna the
stick
Patriots
with a push.
Get.
I think both guys get sacked twice today.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I think, I was saying for Brady, I thought the, yeah.
No, so you interpreted it differently.
Yeah, so I will go with the Patriots get over two sacks today on Peyton Manning.
So I take under on that. 508-298-0398. You can email
now,
us.
Would you take under at 2.5?
At Patriots.com. I would take under 2.5 as well. Yeah, I would do that. We will get to our six-pack and also head up to the press box, talk with Eric Scalavino of Patriots.com coming up momentarily. But first, let's hit the phones. Olivier is in Virginia. You're next up here on Patriots.com.
How are you?
Wee-wee, baby.
So, guys, how have you been? Everything okay?
Si, es bueno, si.
Doing all right.
It's unbelievable. I have no clue why I
what did he say?
Spanish lover with an Andy. But Adam, please don't hang up.
Yeah, he's not even paying attention to you, so he won't hang up. He was
excellent.
Typing.
Yeah, I was.
Excellent,
I was,
excellent. That's
was
good. Please type.
Chatting.
Hey, with the, first of all, I want to wish a good game to Patriots Nation and to you guys as well.
Thank you.
I'm looking
to write a good sentence or two tonight.
Yes. I understand that Hightower is out. We have a bunch of injuries and so forth. Do you think that giving Manning's capability of dissecting our secondary, do you think it's going to increase our running game and maybe have another duo like we've seen last game happening?
No, I don't think the Patriots are big into that whole, oh, we're hurt on defense, so we better run the ball to keep Manning off the field. I think the Patriots will approach it the way they always do, and that's what's the defense going to give me, what's the game plan, and let's do it. Because I think the best way to beat a guy like Manning isn't to keep him off the field, it's to score points.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Paul's big on the win-based point scoring formula.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of the only way you can win the time of possession is by running the ball. You know, the Patriots complete almost 70% of their passes when Brady is right. That keeps the clock running just fine.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right, Olivier, thanks for the call. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Again, we'll head up to the press box in about 10 minutes, talk to Eric Scalavino. But first, let's do our Sunday six-pack.
Ah, nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Adam pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
All right, before we get to the games here, Kevin, how'd we do last week?
I just told you. I don't have it.
Oh, I read that you have the picks. Excuse me. I read that incorrectly. Well, so
that word "don't" in the middle was key to that sentence.
No. I have the picks.
I'm looking at the picks.
I have what they picked. I just don't know if they're right or not.
All right, monkeys abound.
Well,
I can figure it out.
We'll have them
effing monkeys.
We'll get you the results in a little bit. So we
watch
don't
out for
them.
The poop to start flying because I'm surrounded by bleeping monkeys.
We're gonna sling a little feces around here. Kevin, what's our first game?
First one for today: Seattle at Carolina. Looks like Carolina by 2.5.
I'll take Seattle to win on the road. I think that swarming defense, number 2 in the NFL, is going to give Cam Newton fits. I think you'll see turnovers, plays for lost yards. I think Seattle gets the job done with Russell Wilson.
I like Carolina in this game. I think Seattle is, I think they have a young defense that's emerging. I don't think it's a very good football team, however. Carolina, I don't think they're a very good football team, and I have a rule about this. When I have two bad football teams playing, I go with
the home team.
The home team.
See, and that,
and I'll take the Panthers.
I also just feel like in the NFL, Seattle is one of those teams that's just so different, home and away. They look good in their stadium.
And by the way, they're not all that good in their home stadium.
Yeah, and I don't think that highly of Carolina, but it's the same thing. If you got a home team by a field goal in a game that you have a strong feeling about, I'll go with the home team as well. What's next up for us, Kevin?
0-1 for you guys.
Get Chicago.
Whoa, he just swore, I think.
No, Chicago by 5.5.
Chicago by 5.5 over Jacksonville. I always have the Jay Cutler fear, but I fear the Jags overall more, so I'll take the Bears to win and cover.
Yeah, I worry about the Bears on the road, especially against inferior teams like Jacksonville, but I agree with Andy. They're so much better. I just think
theoretically,
nothing,
you could never pick the Bears because you have no idea when they're going to poop themselves.
I think nothing at all of the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars legitimately are one of the very worst teams in football. And if not the worst. So I'm going to take Chicago.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bears as well. They look good against the Dallas Cowboys. I think their defense should be able to shut down Blaine Gabbert. That should be enough for them to cover that spread on the road. What's next, Kevin?
We got Tennessee at Minnesota. Minnesota by 5.5.
Tennessee at Minnesota. I will take Minnesota. Jake Locker out. Matt Hasselbeck, can he kind of do one of those little veteran, I'm just going to come in and lead to a victory on the road, rally the troops? I don't think he will. Chris Johnson stinks.
Yeah, I have visions of the week one game for the Patriots just running it right down Tennessee's throat. I think Adrian Peterson does that in this game. I don't think a whole lot of Minnesota, but I think they're better than Tennessee,
see,
and they'll win this game.
I think they'll win too. I think that number's too big. And
what was the number? I wasn't even paying.
Five and a half.
So, and I think it'll be interesting to see how Chris Johnson does this week because he had that bounce back week. Minnesota's run defense, especially up the middle, has been good for years now. So, I don't know. I just think that's a big number. That Minnesota team feels like a sort of fluky 3-1. I would expect them to come down to earth a little bit against Tennessee, though I would expect them to pull out that game. Let's go to our next one, Kevin.
It is Buffalo at San Francisco. San Francisco by 9.5.
San Francisco by 9.5. And I know that's a big number for a team that maybe doesn't have the most dramatic of offenses, but they'll probably score on defense, so I think they'll cover.
Yeah, I think San Francisco will win this game easily, but I don't like laying a lot of points with that team, the way they play. I think Buffalo has to show some sign of pride against the run after their performance last week, getting called out, by the way, by their head coach in no uncertain terms. I'll take the points here. I think San Francisco wins the game, and I don't think they'll ever really be in trouble, but I could see a backdoor cover coming in late.
I know the NFL doesn't work this way, but the Jets hammered the Bills week one. Jets got hammered by the 49ers last week. I think the Niners cover that number as well.
Give me the
property at work right there.
I understand
useless.
I understand the NFL doesn't work that way, but give me the Niners by 9.5. What do you got, Kevin?
We get San Diego at New Orleans. New Orleans by 3.5.
San Diego at New Orleans. I am going to say New Orleans gets it done, gets a victory at home. You know, I guess all their coaches are going to be there and all that great stuff. And I don't know. I don't have a ton of faith in San Diego. I think they're a very much a middling team. And I don't think the Saints are as bad as they're going to be. You know that Breeze is going to put up some yards. He's going to put up some points. So I'll go with the home team to get off the schneid.
Yeah, at some point, it just has to happen. I mean, I know that they're in disarray with all the stuff that's gone wrong, but at some point they have to get a win, and I think they do it here against San Diego, who I'm still not convinced about.
So
I don't think the Chargers are, and they're off to a good start, which is very rare for them under North Turner, but they haven't convinced me of anything.
So I feel the exact same way. Can't trust San Diego. New Orleans has to win sooner or later. It's only 3.5 points. I will take the Saints. What's our last one, Kevin?
It is Houston at the Jets. Houston by 7.5.
Yeah, on paper this is an ass whooping. I think Houston is maybe the best team in football. Very good defense, which means the Jets aren't going to score a lot of points. Jets defense in transition here in the post-Revis era. Houston can run the ball. Houston can throw the ball. Houston can beat up on the Jets.
This is another one of those games. I know it doesn't work that way in the NFL, but could anybody possibly not take Houston based on what we've seen so far, what we saw last week with the Jets?
I'm gonna take the Jets.
I think this is another game.
That's a gigantic number in the NFL on the road Monday night game.
7.5.
Yeah,
I think this is a game the Jets could score negative points again, like they did last week. I mean, you take away Holmes. This is a team in disarray.
Take away Holmes, that hurts the Texans.
They didn't have any.
Who's going to throw him the ball?
They didn't have any receivers to begin with. No Keller, no Holmes, no chance.
Look, I do think the Jets at least cover the spread. I don't know if they win that game, but the fact that it's a Monday night game, you have the feeling or the sense that the fan base is going to be into that one. I don't know if they win. I do think they cover that number, so I'll take the Jets.
And just by the way,
yeah,
Andy 2-4 last week.
Nice.
Paul 4-2. Jones 2-4.
Oh, I thought you were going to do them in order, like I had the best record. So
No, we did them in order that we made the picks, and I'm not.
Damn it. Were you writing down these picks this week?
Yes, I have them.
Beautiful. I jotted them down,
While we were doing it, I was going through last week.
Just wanted to get the records. As we continue to sling our feces around the studio here. Like a few monkeys. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. One, somebody just writing in about the inactives, which we can repeat for you. No Julian Edelman, no Steve Gregory, no Aaron Hernandez. Logan Mankins is active.
No Dante Hightower.
No Omanawanui. No Tennant.
He's good.
And Beckett.
Beckett.
Jake Beckett is the other one. So those are the inactives.
The important
for the
ones
today.
In Gronkowski in, Mankins in, out Hightower and Hernandez.
Pretty much pencil in Beckett, it looks like. Maybe, you know how you can write on like one of those lists I sent out and then photocopy it for the rest of the year? You can probably write him on there
We will head up to the press box, see how Gronkowski's looking out there, see how Mankins looks out on the field. We'll go up there momentarily with Eric Scalvino at Patriots.com. Let's check the emails, webradio@patriots.com. Lyndon writes in, guys, which would you prefer? Fourth quarter situation, 2 minutes left, 20-20 score, Denver's ball at their own 20-yard line, or fourth quarter, 60 seconds left, 2014, Denver winning with the Pats on their own 30-yard line. So essentially, minute left with the Patriots down by more than a field goal or a tie game with the Broncos with 2 minutes left at their own 20. What would you feel more confident in?
I'm not exactly sure the two scenarios. I would rather the Patriots have the ball
Correct.
And be trailing.
And that's
at
what
the
he's
end.
Asking.
Yeah.
If I have to have one of my sides of the ball execute with the game on the line, I'd rather it be the offense.
Yeah, I don't really even think that's much
how
of a debate.
I feel
well,
I feel the same way as well.
I don't feel as bad about last year. I would have said 100 times out of 100.
Oh, it wouldn't even have been worth talking about.
I feel a little less bad about the defense this year.
There's a conversation to be had this year. I wouldn't even have thought about it
because
last year.
You know, in pressure situations, that lends itself to turnovers for the defense because they know what is going on. And this defense has shown a little bit of an ability to make some plays. So you put those
Absolutely.
Two together, I might feel okay. But I also feel good about Brady. And in the other scenario, I still have to go to overtime and win the game and all that. Like, because if I stop him, you know what I mean? So I'll take the victory, the drive to victory for Brady.
Let's head back down to the poll center. Matt LePan, what's going on in our chat and our polls online?
So we have the results for today's...
Our online polls, yes.
Online polls. My poll's fine, but...
Easy now.
How's your poll?
Paul would like to see it come.
With the intriguing matchup today, Eric Decker versus Devin McCourty at 40% leading the way. Surprisingly, the Brandon Spikes-Wells McGahee matchup right behind it. And if we head over to the other poll, besides Peyton Manning, who's the most dangerous player, Demaryius Thomas, absolute runaway with 70%. Von Miller at 20%. Champ Bailey at 10. Nobody else even got a vote.
So yeah, Thomas is a scary player just for pure athleticism, big play ability.
I'd be more fearful of Decker, though, wouldn't you?
Not really, because you can nickel and dime me to death with Decker, but Thomas can change a game on two plays.
How much do they – I mean, we saw what the Patriots did to Fitzgerald in Week 2, not to say that they're going to give him that much attention, but what level of attention or how much attention do they pay to Thomas today?
Oh, I don't think a ton because you got to be cognizant of the middle of the field. I mean, that's where Decker gets you and Tammy gets you in those long control drives. That's where Manning's going to go. But that puts a premium on your outside guys who are covering Demaryius Thomas because it's not just, okay, does he beat Devin McCourty? It's also, well, does the safety coming over miss the tackle like they've done a number of times this year? And I know it won't be Gregory, and he's kind of fallen victim to that a couple times. But he's a guy you get a tackle because, you know, ask the Steelers. He catches one pass and it ruins not only a game, but...
And if the whole Peyton Manning thing is legit and he's having a hard time pushing the ball downfield, you got to tackle because he's going to throw the ball underneath.
Right.
Thomas has had, as Andy said, some long touchdowns or some long plays that
I think he's got a 71-yard touchdown this year.
That was a screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what Kliss was talking about.
Yeah.
There, letting the athlete.
You have to tackle. You have to definitely come up
it's
and
just
tackle.
Just in from Paul. In football, you got to tackle.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots
he gets really
pregame
mad
social.
When I make time for stuff like that.
I am about a hair away from resignation.
It has
been. From not being bald?
It has been a little.
What did you just have? A little consternation?
Yeah, I guess
what was
I
that?
I don't know.
I resign.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. I enjoyed the.
We didn't mention the pink today, by the way.
Little
we
thing.
Should probably note. I mean, I think everybody kind of knows of it at this point, but cleats, wristbands. Bobby Carpenter's
That's
got
cleats.
His. No, not Mike Kliss. He's got his gloves on. He's catching balls right now in his pink. Goes with his long blonde ponytail. But yeah, a lot of pink today on the field.
All right. Well, we'll get a sense for the weather here in this matchup between the Broncos.
Matthew LePan
and
in the poll center has a pink tie on.
When we head back up to the press box.
Speaking We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, joining us from upstairs at Gillette Stadium, Eric Scalavino, Patriots.com. And Eric, as you know, we're locked down in the bowels of the radio studio here inside Gillette Stadium. So what's the weather like out there?
Well, it's a good thing we're inside, fellas, because it's ugly out there right now. It's raining a little bit harder than it was even just 5 minutes ago, and it's been a steady rain for about the past hour and a half or so, making the field a little slick, but it doesn't seem to be affecting the quarterbacks too much right now in warm-ups. Most of their passes being caught. But as this goes on, that could be a factor.
Have you seen any footing issues with any of the receivers or DBs coming out of breaks yet?
Not any major ones, no.
Are you wearing your pink thong for cancer awareness?
No, not today. Sorry to disappoint.
I want to talk about two players who are pretty hip guys. Logan Mankins and Rob Gronkowski, obviously two superstars, all pro talents that are active, but are they close to 100%? What have you seen from either of them in their pregame work?
Gronk just ran a deep pattern in warmups, just catching a pass from Brady. Looked no worse for the wear. I mean, looked, you know, as well as he did last week in Buffalo when he was dealing with the hip injury. The offensive line, they're just now going into teamwork drills with the defensive line, and Logan Mankins is with the first group there, so that is a good sign. Let me just watch this play here and just see how he's doing.
Oh, he looks good, right?
Well, I mean, he's out there. That's better than last week, you know.
That is true.
When he wasn't healthy enough to go. So the fact that he is out there, he was limited in practice all week. You know, he's a tough guy. It would have had to take a lot for him to miss any sort of time, and even to miss a game. So the fact that he's out there now, I would imagine he's probably still in pain, but he's gritting it out like Gronkowski.
Now, in the back end of the defense, there's obviously some injuries, some concerns, some lineups. I'm assuming Tavon Wilson is going to get the start. Any indication of kind of who might be next in line there and how the trickle-down effect with the nickel-and-dime defenses might work? And could the rookie, Alphonso Dennard, be an option?
Well, they're just now going into those packages. And right now, Wilson is starting with Patrick Chung alongside him. It looks to me like Nate Ebner is going to be the guy who fills in. You know, steps up into what was the Wilson slot, backing up Gregory. I've not really seen anything so far. And again, it's a little early because, you know, kickoff is later than usual.
I hear you, bro.
4 o'clock affair. So their warm-ups are in a little bit later than usual. But I haven't really seen Denner do a heck of a lot right now. But Ebner was out here very, very early, unusual for him to be out as early as he was, almost 2 hours before kickoff. Getting his warm-up in. So that, to me, was a little bit of an indication that he's going to play a little bit more of a role than usual this week.
All right, let's Riverside it and talk about Peyton Manning. How have you seen him throwing the football? Obviously, people have already talking about his fluttery throws in domes. What are you seeing in warm-ups from him dealing with the weather?
Right. Well, when he was out here earlier, you saw the tweet about the passing tree with Decker. And it wasn't really raining that hard at that point. And, you know, he looked pretty good. Obviously, there was nobody defending. It was just him and the receiver.
Hall of Famer versus Air. I like the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, exactly. You have to like that matchup now. He's actually right now in our end zone down here, closest to the press box, throwing with teamwork, offense and defense, and just doing light stuff, short underneath throws, not really anything deep here. But in his earlier warm-ups, he didn't seem to have too many problems. He was actually doing a lot more deep passes and a lot of, like, you know, 20 to 25-yard out patterns to Decker along the sideline. And was getting them there on a rope, so he didn't look like the weather was affecting him at all.
Now, did you see him actually explode when he took the field and it was raining? Because every time he comes to this godforsaken stadium, there's bad weather.
Well, he had kind of exploded out of the tunnel. He came out in a full sprint when I guess it was the second or third time he came out onto the field in full uniform here, like he was raring to go. He's just throwing a deep ball now. It was a nice spiral and was complete.
And it was caught.
So, he looks fine to me so far in warm-ups. But again, this rain just keeps getting a little bit harder. We'll have to see how bad it's going to get during the game. That could impact what both teams do in the passing game.
All right, obviously before we let you go, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you a kicking game-related question since you were a former backup wannabe kicker. Steven Gostkowski, I saw you. He was hitting some bombs at Gwet Stadium in pregame warm-ups, as you put it. I see what you did there. People with lisps everywhere were offended. What do you think from him, not just in terms of the wet weather, but in terms of, you know, this could be a big game for him, miss some more kicks, you never know, back to the place where he missed the game winner, all that crap?
I think he's a pretty confident guy when it comes to his job performance. And, I mean, you just have to look at the facts. All of his misses, except for maybe the Arizona one, were fairly close. They were close calls. It wasn't like they were, you know, way off to the corner of the end zone. And they were long range. They were all 40-plus.
This is neither horseshoes nor hand grenades.
Well, yeah, but still, they're not chip shots that he's missing. So, I mean, if he were in, like, Billy Cundiff territory, who was, you know, having an atrocious year with the Redskins, then I think you would have to worry. But this guy's fine. He's got a strong leg, and he was one of the most accurate kickers in the league. I don't think he has anything to worry about unless he starts missing really short kicks week after week, and I don't see that happening. So
he's kind of made the game.
I don't have any doubt that he'll bounce back.
Eric, we've been
trying to Tracy White today too, huh?
We're
gonna get more Tracy White today. Sorry about that.
I'd like to see more Bobby Carpenter, actually. I think he's the better player to fill in for Dante Hightower. But, yeah, we might still see Tracy White. He's been starting, since Hightower went out last week. So, But I would feel more confident, honestly, if Carpenter were in that role.
Eric, we've been trying to gauge the buzz, the anticipation level of Brady Manning. You've covered these matchups in the past. How does the anticipation level, the buzz in the press box, kind of rival Brady Manning from the past, if at all?
I don't really feel as much of it in here right now, to tell you the truth. I mean, there's certainly a lot of press here, but I'm not hearing like an overly excited buzz like with games in the past. Maybe it's just that these guys are getting older. Maybe it's I don't know. But it's just it doesn't really have the same feel as Manning Brady games of the past.
All right, he's Eric Scalavino, Patriots.com, joining us from the press box leading up to Patriots and Broncos. Eric, thanks so much for taking the time.
All right, guys. See you
Cookies.
Soon.
All right, Eric Scalavino joins us each and every week at
all right,
this
here's
time.
Here's where I'm
Dunkin'
him.
Donuts Patriots pregame social.
What, after he's off the phone?
What do you got?
He said Tracy White's been starting since Hightower went down.
I think you met him maybe getting the reps in practice.
There's been no games since Hightower went down.
That is correct. And there are also some Twitter reports from our buddy Mike Reese that says that it looks like Tracy White is with the starting group at linebacker, at least for now.
Well, I mean, if he can start a Super Bowl, he can start that.
So something to monitor once that game gets going. Let's hit the phone.
Is that a new face mask for Brandon Spikes?
508.
A little more grill in it?
298-0398. Chris is from the Patriots Fan Club in Arizona, and you're next up. You're on Patriots.com. What's up, Chris?
Hey, we're just out here enjoying some real nice weather.
Yeah, us too.
Getting ready for a big game, and got a full house today. It is packed.
Nice, and it's sunny out there, and unlike here.
Yeah, there isn't a cloud in the sky, so it's looking good.
So, what's the in terms of a fan club atmosphere for a Brady Manning big game like this? Where is the excitement level, the emotion right now?
Oh, well, it's definitely high. I mean, that's like I said, it's an absolute packed house right now. Everybody's looking for a place to sit. So it's always, anytime you get Brady and Manning together, it's always a big draw.
Now, do you feel less, because we've been talking about maybe there's not quite as much hype for this Brady Manning game as in the past because of the change in teams and all these various factors. Do you think it's up there with previous Brady Manning games?
I don't think so, only for the reason that it's not a Colts-Patriots matchup. This is more of a Brady Manning matchup, and I think probably everybody here is, I don't want to say they're wishing ill will on Peyton, but I think everybody's curious to see how he's going to do in Foxborough with a different team.
All right, well, Chris, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. If you're like Chris, you're getting ready for this game, tailgating, leading up to the Patriots game with the Broncos, you can send in your pictures, webradio at patriots.com, or tweet at us using the hashtag PPGS. All right, guys, before we wrap things up, fill in the blank. Patriots win today if?
If they play their kind of football, I would just say.
If they protect the football.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Their kind of football, I mean, they've turned it over three times all year, something like that?
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
you know,
I just think
their kind of football is protecting the football.
And they've been taking it away, too.
We always look at the all things being equal. I mean, I think they're going to give up points and yards. We know what this defense is. They've shown the ability to make some plays. But the offense is what we expect it to be. They're a 30-point offense who can run the ball maybe a little bit more than we expected, but still throw it very well. I think if they play their football, they win this game. I mean, I'm not really that worried.
I really agree with Andy. I think this is a game that the Patriots should win. Mike Kliss also made the point at home. You know, maybe it would be different if it was out in Denver with this young defense, you know, going through that for the first time. But I think this is a game that they can play on their terms, and they should find a way to win. But that doesn't mean I disrespect the opponent and Manning specifically. I do think it'll be a difficult game. And if the weather is not too bad out there, I think that both teams will score some points.
All right, we're less than a half an hour away from kickoff between the Patriots and Broncos here in Foxborough. That'll do it for the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I will talk to you on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show right here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Denver Broncos.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks and fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.